Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've seen people almost go to the bathroom in their pants in his presence.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, I asked Carol to hang out here because I don't think I can do this next part on my own. So I look to you for emotional support. I referred to this last week. First of all, good afternoon,
good afternoon.
And gentlemen. A beautiful fall day in St. Louis. I was off for a few days last week, so I didn't address this. But I remember saying something Tuesday about something that had happened with one of our KMOX family members, Carol, that we were dealing with. And our boss, Steve Moore's son, Ryan, passed away last week.
A week ago.
He's 29 years old.
Today.
Terrible circumstances, went into cardiac arrest, and it's a horrible, horrible thing to deal with. It does, however, put things into perspective with other stupid things that come up in life, right?
Quickly. We were went to the visitation yesterday, and we were in line, and we saw Fred Bottomer and Maria Kina, and we were talking about, you know, getting mad at your kids.
Yeah.
And not getting mad at your kids, because some stuff you get mad at them, it just, in the grand scheme— And knowing you're about to hug your friend and coworker as he prepares to bury his firstborn,
it's
just does not matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And I keep thinking about grief because we just lost Brett Bloom,
right?
And just went to his funeral and. And stuff just really.
I know you get emotional, but yeah, it
makes me mad. It makes me mad that we ever wasted any time on anything you shouldn't waste time on when you are saying goodbye to people that you've known, and you've known Steve since you were 20.
Well, we've known each other since 1992. I knew Ryan, his son, when he was only 3 years old. He was born in 1990, and Steve and Lisa got married. Not to give too much information, they got married very young because of Ryan. And I've known Steve and Lisa for a long time. Lisa's actually my attorney. That's another story. But, you know, you see, and people who are listening right now, they don't know our boss, but we got a pretty darn good boss. I hope he's not listening because he'll find out that I said that. But really, for me, he's more than just a boss. He's a friend, but we can't be friends anymore in a weird way. You know what I mean by that?
Because he's a boss.
Right, right.
Because he's a boss.
We're still friends.
Him,
you know what I mean? We can't hang
absolutely.
Out together.
But I remember saying to him years ago, because I don't even know how long he's been here. It's just like, that's
20 years.
Okay.
But there was a little bit of a period, but round about 18 probably.
Right. And so I've been here 24. So my whole career at KMOX, it's been Steve Moore. And I said to him one time when I was in trouble for something, I don't get in trouble much. Not as much as Mark. And I said to Steve one time, I said, you know, you are like the only person in my life who can tell me, get your butt in gear, you know, and just go off. And I will take it, because I know that he respects what we do.
Yeah.
That he knows generally how hard it is. He really has an affinity for the industry, for the craft. And because,
you know why he knows that? Because at one point, I wish I had audio tapes of this. At one point in Columbia, Missouri, he went on the air and it was awful. We always reminded him. He has great appreciation for what we do, because he was a behind the scenes programming guy.
But I just know that he respects it. Now, you know, because he's boss, and I'm, you know, underling. I work for him, and he can tell me what to do, and, you know, we have that relationship. But we have, of all of our conversation, and you and I said this morning, that we have talked, the three of us,
about our kids.
About our kids. Two sons. He had two sons.
Right.
I have two sons. You have two
sons.
And they were very similar. in behavior.
Yeah.
And experience and not listening. And, you know, like everybody's got a child knows, right? They're hard-headed. And we've talked more about parenting.
Yeah.
Than commercials and topics and call screening and news timing.
Yep.
And, you know, we've talked about our children more than anything over these two decades, more than anything else. And so I just know, I don't know the devastation. I don't know.
You can't cry because then you're going to make me cry.
Well,
But, you know, the one thing that I wanted to say is, and this is kind of sad when you think about it in and of itself, the outpouring, and a lot of people know Lisa. A lot of people know Lisa and Steve. Steve works with the Cardinals, with the Blues. You know, he's been here for a long time. Lisa's a high-powered attorney.
Yeah.
So, but the amount of people that showed up, and I was thinking about this, and my brother died when he was 27. You know that, Carol, and mm-hmm. it was a shocker. This was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I worked with Steve at the time. He was my boss at that time, and it was devastating, right? But I heard stories from people, like his coworkers. I'd never met his coworkers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
is kind of a weird thing, but I'm going to toss it in because it was just fun to learn. They had at one point taken him to a strip joint. And I never knew about that, but they shared the story. But to see the outpouring of support mm-hmm. from friends, family, community, and just Ryan's friends too in some of those stories. So look, it's a celebration of someone's life. It shouldn't have happened. Parents should not have to bury their children.
Ever.
I felt like I wanted to say something this afternoon because Steve's important to us.
He's important to us. And I will tell you, and I'm as a reporter, you know, you know, we're all photographers now in this industry. And so when Patrick and I were parking last night, and parking was, you know, we didn't know where we were going to park, and we stood in line for 30 minutes at the visitation. We passed an SUV with the trunk up, and there was a cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see them? And there was a circle.
Well, my wife was two cars behind with her friends from Columbia because and they were popping a couple of Bud Lights, too.
And I so wish I had gotten this picture for Steve and Lisa and their son, Ian, and brother Ian, so they're in a circle and they're holding blue cans in the air. And just as we drove past and obviously toasting him. And Steve said to us when we made it through the line that where Ryan worked, there had to be like 100 employees. He had no idea there were that many.
Right.
And he said, I promise you, I've met every single one of them tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all shared stories of his heart, of his smile, of his caring. And
as a parent, sometimes you don't get to see that, right?
You don't know that.
Right.
Because they're just getting on our nerves. They just, please take the, please clean your room. Please get a job. Please graduate from college. Please do the right thing. Please do the right thing. And for Steve to be able to hear last night.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All these good things about his son, what kind of person he was, what kind of friend he was. Steve said to me that lifts my soul. And Steve, we will always lift your soul. And Lisa, we will lift your soul however we can.
Well, thank you for doing this with me because I don't think I could have done it on my own.
Well,
so I dragged you into it because I wanted to say something I thought was important.
We both love him and have known him a long time. And he means a great deal to us, as does Lisa. And so I said to Lisa, there are no words.
Yeah, there really aren't. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll be a little bit more positive here this afternoon, I promise, eventually on KMOX.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Josh Krasauer with us this afternoon. Let me start with my congratulations for your Washington Nationals, even though they pummeled the St. Louis Cardinals. Congratulations.
Yeah, I didn't want to rub it in, Mark. I know this is sort of, for me at least, a little bit of revenge from 2012. But look, this is just like the Cardinals have had some magic years, and they've really just turned it on right when the playoffs have begun. The Nationals seem to be having one of those amazing years, and you know they haven't been to the World Series since 1933. So this is really 86 years in the making for Washington sports.
Well, look, we're realistic, and you know I think we were in touch with the fact that even getting to the League Championship Series was maybe exceeding expectations. But then you get in, you never know what's going to happen. I still think those first two games could have gone in either direction if the Cardinals would learn how to just hit maybe a couple of times. But you guys are really, really good right now. And I'm looking, as a baseball fan, I think this is going to be a great series.
It is. I mean, the Astros have the best starting pitching in the American League. The Nationals have the best starting pitching in the National League. So you're going to have these amazing pitching matchups. I think it's Scherzer versus Garrett Cole, game one. Verlander versus Steven Strasburg, game two. Corbin and Greinke in game three. I think that's the expected matchups.
You're talking
about literally like six of the best pitchers in all of baseball head-to-head with each other.
Are you going to get to go to a World Series game?
So, yes, I have. I just secured my Game 3 tickets today. I was actually in California when the Nationals were home at the NLCS. So I was really – I've been to almost every playoff game beforehand. I missed the big party on Game 4, the first ever clinching game to go to the World Series and win the pennant. But, you know, I will hope that the first game ever of a World Series in 86 years is gonna be pretty awesome in Washington.
All right, well, look. Congratulations again, and I think you're going to have fun with this experience. You know, we're a little spoiled here in St. Louis, but what happened during that series highlighted some of the challenges that we have in the offseason. Let's get to politics here, Josh. What in the world is going on with Mick Mulvaney? And, you know, I heard the interview that Chris Wallace did yesterday. There seems to be some disagreement over whether he said quid pro quo, and a lot of people are jumping on him. So where is that right now?
Well, the reality is, Mark, that there's not a whole lot, even if the president wanted to get rid of Mick Mulvaney, there's not a lot of people that would take that job. And keep in mind that Mulvaney's only doing the job in an acting role. He doesn't officially have the full-time job of chief of staff, which, you know, in presidencies past, it's been the most important position in the administration. So Mulvaney, I mean, he was asked point blank by ABC News whether it was a quid pro quo. He responded in the affirmative and gave plenty of details backing that argument up, and then he had to back himself up later that evening. Look, this is an administration that has lost all credibility. I mean, the president routinely says things that are just not true. Today, I think he believed he said, like, the Kurds were happy with this agreement that's, you know, essentially could be ethnic cleansing in that part of the Middle East. And the president is in denial that there are Kurds being slaughtered and being killed as a result of this deal, that this green light that he gave Turkey. He's been kind of trying to undermine the credibility of these whistleblowers that initially came forth with damaging information about the president's dealings with Ukraine, and he has a heart, and these facts and these details have been confirmed by subsequent accounts. There's been testimony on Capitol Hill with his top officials, ambassadors, that have been detailing corrupt behavior in the White House and at the State Department, and the president seems to be in denial of it all. So Mulvaney, I mean, he sent Mulvaney out to kind of spin the best he could for him, but it ended up as just another disaster. He was not telling the truth, and he had to walk back his comments just hours later.
Yeah, it all got very confusing. One thing that I would say is that when I heard Mick Mulvaney, I think he's very convincing, even though maybe he got kind of caught a little bit and tripped up. But one of the questions I guess I had is, why don't we hear from Mick Mulvaney more? And you just raised a great point. Why in the world is this still an interim tag?
I mean, the president's some of his top, but if you look at the percentage of cabinet secretaries that do not have the job full time, it's a significant number. The lot of Republicans, a lot of even people who generally support the administration, don't want to work in this administration, and the president doesn't trust, frankly, some of his top folks to kind of do his business. What we saw in this latest episode with Ukraine is that he basically found enough people to be pressured to kind of do the shadow foreign policy when it came to Ukraine that undermined the official American foreign policy in terms of helping that Eastern European country. This is a mess, and this is why Republicans, not Democrats, but Republicans have been privately and in some cases publicly speaking out against the president's policies, the president's conduct. But the reason the president walked back his decision on Doral, the reason he's sort of at least keeping a couple hundred troops in Iraq and Syria, it's because there's been a universal Republican chorus, in some private, some public, that has said this is enough. This is unacceptable.
All right, so listen to this. On the topic of the Republicans that are breaking bad on him, I mean, some of them, and he refers to Mitt Romney here, some of them have been doing this for a while, but listen to this.
I think they're lousy politicians, but two things they have. They're vicious, and they stick together. They don't have Mitt Romney in their midst. They don't have people like that.
So he was referring to the Democrats and saying, look, they stick together. Those were comments from earlier today. Here's another question about whether or not he thinks the House will impeach him.
Do you believe that it's a foregone conclusion that the House will impeach?
Well, I think they want to. Any Democrat wants to because they're not going to beat me in the election. So, of course, they want to impeach. Why wouldn't they want to impeach me? It's so illegitimate. It cannot be the way the founders, our great founders, meant this to be.
Let me cut to the chase here, Josh. You think Donald Trump is on the ballot a year from now?
Well, I think it's more likely than not, just because you need to have, well, we've talked about this before on the show, Mark, 20 Senate Republicans
right.
to defect. You know, I've said publicly, I've written, all bets are, once you get this ball rolling, you never know where it's going to lead. So I think trying to project politically where things stand a month or two from now is different than in any other episode in this presidency. But you know, betting money would say no, he'll probably hang on till the election. The problem though is that Republicans are, you know, the reason Democrats are united, Mark, is that the polling backs them up. I mean, they have public support behind them, and when the Democrats have not always been united. In fact, they've actually been divided in many big episodes during this presidency. But they're strengthened. I mean, you look at just recent polling showing clear majorities supporting an impeachment inquiry, including in some of the big battleground states and congressional districts. So the reason Democrats are united is because, for the most part, the polling for them on impeachment, the polling for them on Trump's behavior is moving in their direction. And the reason Republicans are divided is that they see the polling, they see a lot of internal unrest within their own, amongst independents, even among some of their own voters, though they're not dramatically so. They're worried about their own reelection. If you want to hold the Senate.
Sure.
Mitch McConnell is looking at a lot of senators in swing states that probably won't be able to win if Trump's job approval and the trajectory is the way it is currently.
All right, so then that begs the question. So if that, look, Mitch McConnell's going to try to hold on to the Senate, and these Republicans are probably going to come out in greater numbers against the president if it looks like they're going to lose the Senate. Wouldn't that be accurate?
Well, here's how I see it. It's never in a Republican senator or member of Congress's interest to totally break with the president. Once you call for impeachment, you're almost guaranteeing your retirement, at least, the math to win in an election for a Republican is you need to get most of your own voters, even if you need to get suburban voters. The problem is swing voters. The problem is it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. You know, if you do stick with Trump, you're probably going to lose regardless if you're in a tough enough state or district that's a swing state. So the political math for an actual removal happening, it would require, you know, the bipartisan vote for impeachment in the House, which could be happening, you know, by the end of the year. And it would basically have enough Republicans looking at their own political fortunes and saying, well, it's not good for us to break with the president, but it's not going to be good for us to stick with him either. We're in really dire straits. So why not do the principled thing? Why not act on what we actually believe in our hearts? And that's what it would take. I mean, we're not at that moment yet. I think Republicans still want to manage their way out of this mess. But, for the politics to kind of take secondary stage to the principles, it would basically require the politics to be so bad with Trump in office that they would basically say, you know, the heck with it. Let's see what happens if we vote for impeachment.
Well, you used the word mess a few minutes ago, and I think that's exactly what it is. Maybe no matter what your perspective. Josh Krossauer, The National Journal. I appreciate it. Washington Nationals fan. We'll put last week behind us and wish you good luck once again in the World Series.
Thank you. No one thought the Nationals were going to be in the World Series. People said that never would happen. And people, a lot of political pundits are saying this won't happen because it's never happened in a long time. Well, you know, rules were made to be broken, and we're looking at quite a scene, quite a volatile moment in Washington.
Yeah, have fun with it. It's fun. We know the feeling here in St. Louis. Josh, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Awesome. All right, Josh Krossauer with us this afternoon on KMOX. And look, I apologize. The phone line there wasn't the best quality, and I'm not sure exactly what happened. It was a landline. Go figure. Landlines are not as good as cell, and the cell service is terrible, so I can't figure it out. I really can't. We can put, like I say, we can put a rover on Mars, but we cannot solve phone lines in the United States of America.
We've got football. Tonight at 6:30, it's the Patriots and Jets, and you can hear it here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Ah, that reminded me here, talking about sports, I have to do, I started the show in depressing fashion this afternoon. I'll have to do something that's a lot of fun. Now, look, and I will apologize to the Illini fans in the audience because I'm a Mizzou guy, and I think your orange colors are really ugly, so I don't give you a lot of attention. But I apologize because I think, and this is sincere, there's a lot of fans from the area, a lot of alums, and I have a lot of friends that went to U of I. Now, I spent 10 years in People's Republic of Wisconsin, My wife is a Milwaukee native. We are kind of part-time Badger fans, and wow, look what happened to them on Saturday. 31-point favorite. I'm not going to talk about Mizzou, by the way. Oh, my, what a disaster that. I knew they were going to lose that game, right, Dave? Trap game. As soon as they started talking about Mizzou being the SEC East champion, come on. Sorry, but let's be realistic. So the game with Illinois and Wisconsin, 31-point favorites. Illinois, Lovie Smith, not that good this year. I think they had two wins. So this is Brian Barnhart. Who else is who's the color guy in here? What's his name? Martin O'Donnell. They had fun. This is the final kick when they won it.
Badgers have no timeouts. They can't stop it. McCourt for the win.
Love it.
Let's go, baby! Upset in champagne! The Illini win it! 24-23! Right down the middle! And that is a happy mob!
I love good calls, and that was a great call. Congratulations to the Illini for the upset on Saturday. I don't know what to say about Mizzou. I really don't, because I don't think they're a very good team. They lost to maybe two of the worst teams on the schedule. How does that work out? Wyoming... Well, maybe SEMO's not as good as Wyoming. I don't know. Okay, I'm just frustrated. But again, sports, it's sports. In the whole scheme of things, we can talk about something else. Let's talk about Boondoggles. Let's segue into Boondoggles here this afternoon. This is a head-scratcher from me. And I really, I say this with mixed emotions because I really genuinely like Joe Edwards and what he's done. How could you not love what he's done for University City in the Loop? But this whole trolley thing was a joke from the beginning. I think a lot of us knew it. It's not, it has nothing to do with transportation. It's a tourist, kind of a fun little tourist gimmick where you can ride up and down a street that's got a bunch of, tracks on it now so you can't park anywhere. It's more difficult to get downtown UC. That's a great thing, but ride the trolley. Where can you ride it to? Really nowhere, but you can ride the trolley. It'd be a fun thing to do when it's like -3. Ride that trolley. UC. Mark Carter is raising, and this is legitimate because there's tax dollars. Your tax dollars are at work here for the Loop Trolley. And the Loop Trolley Commission is, I think, in the position now where they have to answer a bunch of questions about how much money was wasted. And Mark Carter, St. Louis County Councilman, with me this afternoon. He's calling for a federal audit of the Loop Trolley Commission. How are you, Mark?
Good to talk to you, Mark.
So where are we with this thing right now? And yeah, I heard our coverage this morning. I think you were featured in that. You're calling on the feds to audit the Loop Trolley Company. This whole thing has turned into a bigger mess than I think that some people had expected.
Well, I think it's been a mess since about 2012. But at the same time, legally, yes. And money-wise, it's turned into a little bit of a mess now. What I'm proposing tomorrow night at our council meeting is a resolution by the council to ask the federal government and our representatives there to order a audit of this of the government money that went into this Loop Trolley. So the idea there is to bring light, see if there is any funny business going on. Hopefully there isn't, but I think we need to look at it and get real deep into the numbers, because this is an unbelievable boondoggle from the start, and there's a lot of moving parts, and we need to look at that real hard.
Yeah, so in your letter, let's talk about some of the math here. $52 million in public and private funding, but the private funding aspect of that is just is less than $1 million, $750,000. So you're talking about 33.9 from the feds, about $3 million from St. Louis County, and then you got tax credits and stuff like this. Now, is there a risk if something is turned up here in this audit that that money would have to be paid back? That's one aspect that I've heard people talking about.
Yes, and that's been knocked around, and I don't worry about that. I mean, if we're supposed to pay it back, we'll deal with that at that time. We need to find out who signed off on this? Where did the money go? How was it spent? Was it wasted? Or where did actually these things go during this whole period of time? And I think the payback issue is a legal issue that we'll have to deal with if there is such a thing at a later date. But the Fed should have been overseeing this all along, and this forces them to get involved and to figure out, if there's some dirty things going on, or if everything is just mismanagement, or this is the cost of a carnival ride in the Loop.
So, look, I like Joe Edwards. I love what he's done for the Loop. You know, I mentioned this. We all mention this all the time. We go to these venues in the Tivoli and the Pageant and the Duck Room and Del Mar Hall. And, you know, he's done great things for the region. But he loves this, and this is his pet project. And he said, I really hope that St. Louis County takes this serious, how important this is for the future of transit in the region. And he points out that, look, this thing's very expensive, $51 million, but, you know, all things considered, the request for this additional money is pretty reasonable. Joe seems to be working and kind of living in a fantasy land here.
A little bit, I think. You know, this is about principle, and this is about, you know, they've asked for about the same amount a couple of years ago. It didn't even get to this level of interest with the council. We never voted on it. The last time we voted and gave them money was back in 17, where we gave them $3 million. I voted against it as long as with a few other council people. It did pass, and we did spend that money. But this has been an unfortunate situation, and we need to figure this out because, you know, this is just it. And everybody says, well, it's federal money, you know. Well, that's all of our money.
Yeah, right.
It's not just federal money, and we need to take a hard look at this. And that's what hopefully my resolution will do, and bring this to a new level of attention in the region. And unfortunately, this will be the poster child for any kind of big government subsidies for things like this, or bridges, or anything that comes down our way.
Well, let's be honest. Metrolink should have been the big boondoggle alert earlier in the St. Louis history of transportation, but that's, you know, that's way beyond, and that was Dick Gephardt and all that nonsense. So look, I call it like I see it in these situations. We've had generous people step in. We've seen what's happened with the soccer team and the Arch Grounds. To me, it seems like the only way to get out of this is if someone steps in with private money. Otherwise, this thing is done.
And I agree. If this is such a good deal, either Joe will need to step up and write a check, or some benefactor here in St. Louis will step up and write a check, and then that will buy him another year, and then we'll be talking about this a year from now,
right,
and looking at this. I mean, it broke down Sunday night, last night, down there, and they had the trolley towed. So what's going on with this? This is just we got to look at this, and all my email and all my texts are all, you know, don't give them any more money. We're done. All that. So I haven't seen anyone come to the council or even to our emails about we should save this.
But what? Here's what, you know. Let me just try to play devil's advocate for a moment. Tom Schmidt, Salt and Smoke, great place down in the Loop, says, look, we shouldn't throw away $51 million in development because of growing pains. Your response would be what?
Well, first off, we're not throwing it away because I feel that we may shut it down for a couple of months until a benefactor comes up and says, hey, here's your money. Let's get this rolling again. Or they'll come up with some other source of money. But from the county standpoint, we're done. And I've told all my colleagues that if they want to come up with some money, they want to go after another government grant, you know, all the power to them. But from the standpoint of us and what we're spending things on projects like this, I think that's a foregone conclusion. We're not doing it.
County Councilman Mark Carter, appreciate it. Keep us posted on this, right?
We'll do.
That is County Councilman Mark Carter. I mean, I just don't understand how this thing can be saved unless someone writes a big check. But we've depended on the big check writers quite a bit here. And even if you write the big check, let's say somebody comes up, let's say Rex Singfield. The wrong choice for this, but he's got a lot of money. My guess is Rex would see that this is a boondoggle. But let's just say someone like that steps in, writes a check for $750,000. Well, then you're still on the hook for 2021 and beyond. So where are they going to raise money? I mean, what was it the month of September? They had barely $3,000 in tickets sold. How are those numbers going to work in November, December, January, February, and most of March? They're not. I don't, you know, sometimes you got to take a look back, and I the ball got rolling on this because you had heavy hitters and you had Joe Edwards saying this is my dream. But I guess it's hard for me to fathom that there weren't people in important positions that at least could have stood back. And a lot of us, by the way, did speak out against this when it first came up. I talked to Joe I had questions. We treat Joe gently because Joe is Joe and we like him, right? But it's a bad idea to depend on taxpayers for this in the first place. So now you're on the hook. You got a bunch of tracks. What's going to happen? I mean, I think the most likely scenario is those tracks will be there forever. And the trolley will not be.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com.
Tell you this one is a head scratcher. I can't figure it out. In fact, when I saw this story, I thought there's no way that this can be true. I'm seeing this wrong. I'm interpreting this wrong. And it's the original story that I came across is actually from the New York Times. So if it's in the New York Times, it's got to be true, right? Well, yeah, okay. Maybe not. However, in this case, I believe that it is. We have vetted this one just a little bit. This is about a high school security assistant, they call him, in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin. So I call it the People's Republic of Wisconsin, mainly because of Madison, Wisconsin, communist city up there in a fine state. But anyway, there was a student that called him a racial slur several times last week. He tried to explain to the student why that was offensive. It cost him his job. So this guy's name is Marlon Anderson. And there was a student. By the way, the student is black. I think that's important here. He's black. The student is black. He told the student to stop calling him a N-word during the October 9th exchange at West High School in Madison. Both Anderson and the student are black again. Just reading from the New York Times story. Less than a week later, school officials fire him. They fired him because they have a zero tolerance policy. Here's what he says.
If anyone knows the power of words to light up a student's world, it's Marlon Anderson.
I always say things like, you the best, you the greatest.
All right, so this is a story, TV story.
It's one word he said.
I do not feel that it's fair.
That got him fired from his job as a security assistant at West High School.
I made a conscious decision to address the word because it is an epidemic. Our kids use it just every day.
Now, he's talking about black kids, I think. Black kids and white kids, but black kids.
Anderson says a student who was refusing to leave the school pushed the assistant principal, so he felt it was his job to help. That's when the student said this.
He called me a B-I-T-S-S N-word.
Anderson says no other staff member told the student to stop, and he only said the N-word to tell the student to stop calling him that.
You have no tolerance for a word, but yet you allow a student to call me that word over 15 times without correcting that behavior.
So, again, doesn't make sense. He says, I'm not going to be called that word. I don't blame him. I have a right to not be called that word, I believe. I feel like she tolerated it for the entire ordeal, talking about the assistant principal, which is, I think, problematic in and of itself. So 2 days after this happened, he's put on notice by the school's principal. He says that the principal, Dr. Karen Boren, told him he was going to have an uphill battle and he was going to have to fight politics. What? Mr. Anderson said he met with Human Resources to discuss the episode. Monday morning, I was told, I guess this was last Monday, I was going to be terminated or I would be given an option to resign. So then people from the black community showed up and they tried to fight for him, but it still hasn't worked. I keep hoping, and this story was from last week, and I was off for a few days. So I got this story, and I'm like, I'm going to talk about this on Monday. I think this was Friday when the New York Times story came out. And I thought, certainly by Monday, this is going to be corrected. It has not been corrected at all. How can this happen? Now, we have, and I've highlighted some of the myths of racism out there, like Black Lives Matters. I mean, some of the nonsense that went on with that. Some of the hoaxes that have gone on with racism. Even the thing that happened in Texas last week, which all of a sudden became a focal point for white people and white police hating black people, even though I would argue it was a terrible, terrible, tragic mistake. And yes, the cop should have been fired. and maybe prosecuted. Well, he's going to be prosecuted, but maybe he belongs in prison. We'll have to see. But this is actually a real incident of something racial that has gone awry. You know, why can't we use common sense in this country anymore? So the school board president said, for now, we are prepared to say, no, this is the union. The union says, for now, we're prepared to say that Mr. Anderson should not have been terminated over this incident. We'll be advocating for his reinstatement. But there was a comment in this story about the school board, and the school board president said, okay, well, maybe we'll take a look at this. We've taken a tough stance on racial slurs. We believe that the language has no place in schools. We've also heard from the community, and it's our duty to examine it. Hopefully, they'll fix this with Marlon Anderson up in Wisconsin.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.